one I didn't get to read the other time around, so maybe this would be the one that won it, but hey. This is just it with a 5-word challenge, so see if you remember which ones are which. I imagine myself the messenger, harbinger of the word. I fumble and tisk, stuttered and overly brisk. Those who heard, confused and mumble in discord. I should quick and easy repeat what's the matter. Cat got your tongue, stage fright, Zatica. And that's it.
Thank you. Next we have Jude O'Neill. Sorry, Jude, I know you don't like 1 second, but...
It's okay.
And,
it doesn't count when it's a 5-word. It's funny. It's funny. It's
okay.
I'll never forgive you, though.
Okay. I'll try and live with it.
You should have managed to grab it out. It's called Bus Stop. Who does he think he is? In his sweatpants and jersey, looked completed with a filthy, scuffed Nike Air Max, wreck-headed stupor and fag in his mouth. Too independent to play by the rules, too genius for the teachers to understand, he swears. Yet it lies not in the language, all he knows is how to hurt. How to hurt himself and throw down what words he does know. Wreck-headed stupor with fag on his tongue.
Next we have our 5-word challenge winner, Kennedy Scott.
Oh, with Anya Backer.
With Anya Backer.
Oh. Hi. Okay, we're going to try it. We how long has it been since we've done that?
A while. So, I don't even know if I can remember the poem, but...
Take your time.
You are catnip to me, you are. Just one whiff, and I'm off. Kissing and a hugging, licking and a sucking, nuzzling all those nooks and crannies only I ever get to smell, and whose scent makes me swoon and want to roll around with you like bears in a meadow. You are catnip to me, you are. Just one kiss. Like the first kiss, like the last kiss, and I'm off again. Like that first night, like last night, and last Saturday afternoon. And still, I want you again. Still, I want you more. You pull me into your arms. I curl between shoulder and neck, and purring. Fall asleep with a smile on my face and your taste on my lips.
We have Shane Vaughan.
Something I've been working on recently. I've been trying out in various different forms just to kind of experiment with my writing. So this is the poem version of this idea. So it's called trepanning. If anyone doesn't know, it's that when you drill a hole in your head. So anyway, trepanning. She takes the blade to my scalp and lopes off a thick bundle of hair, wincing as each strand falls like off-yellow worms against the carpet swamp, then scrapes with the edge at rough roots till a patch forms, my tonsurette, and she can cut deep lines, crevices, an untidy hole, till the floor is covered in red and blonde, little worms swimming in drunkenness, and we wait till memories come. And she scoops them with closed palms like a child to water, till thirsty no more, and drops them to the floor to mingle in effervescent polycolor, till they puddle so that we can pull on our boots, hers blue, mine red, and splash like I've forgotten how, and sing a song about rain like it's the first time I've heard the lyrics,
till later, when we curl up and I bleed all over her, till the crust comes to form a scab to be picked by someone else's nails.
Okay, just a word, we're kind of like, time is kind of like microscoping, and there's a radius on the list, so can we keep it short, please? Can we have George Spears, please?
Thanks. I'm a visitor from New York, so I just want to thank everybody for your hospitality. It's a lovely little group you have. This poem is called Riverdale, which, if you don't know, is a tiny little neighborhood in New York with lots of Irish immigrants. The one train skirl, stealing to a halt, scrawls across trees, roofs, and stone. The exhale of a rusted Leviathan come to the end of the line. Then the heavy air settles again, muting a velvet covering night. Swaying branches do not scrape. A distant laugh dissipates into pavement. Footfall sinks into stone. Cigarette ends glow, flitting at the top of gray stone. A soft voice ebbs, then flows. Well-worn bellows stoking gently as the doors close. Of the poor mouth, out of time itself. Excuse me.
Thank you. Can you call Scully, please?
This is a poem about a candle, believe it or not. So, it's called Large Pillar Candle. Up to 70 hours burn time. There was an age when your world would have been over in a quick 10 days. Through winter nights in a room centre. Now you could last for a man's life. Sitting in an ornamental lantern on a corner window of a desolate beach house. Imperceptible to most eyes. Your flaky white hue, almost translucent. Do we have candles, Mom? Asks Johnny. Lifted outdoors on rare summer evenings, your wick massaged up. An old box of timber matches found, always there in the top press. You're wary of being lit in the rolling air, in from the sea. Until Auntie cocoons you with her pan and coaxes you to life. Burn with a glow in the summery chat along the patio. The bottle of wine and the smell of fried bread until the midges come out. And the citronella takes your place. You were left there till morning, then returned to your shelf. All the days you sat there watching the sea. The odd dusting down when a teenager got an idea into her head. Some summers saw you live more than others. As generations moved through the house, when talk and banter were free-flowing, then cousins came to stay. There was always room on the changing patio set for you. People loved to look into your light as the sun went down and talk of easy things and funny things. You sway in your glass case, reflecting off the different faces, the aging faces. Pooled in the centre, wick almost lost in the curve. Got harder and harder to handle, till John, now Dad, chipped away at you with his penknife, breathing new life into your old heart. Wax, yellow from the sun. Some blown wife wants to get rid of you, but there's a power cut. You're brought out to the table centre, king for a night, as the kids play cards around you, laughter and singing too. You're a short stump now, but you burned brightly that night, burning into their memories. You were saved and placed in a back drawer just in case. There, in the darkness of your age, old John found you while you rummaged. For a spare pair of glasses he thought he had put away. He placed you outside once again, where you could hear the sea. He spent that week alone, burning you each evening as the sun set, and reminiscing on his world now closing. You melted softly into the dish, as your black wick burned to its end, fizzling out, the only sound you ever made.
Can we have Patricia Welsh, please?
Yep. I just got hubris. starting fire in another's grill. The wish disposed sleeps in the night. Walking with longing, unrequited revenge. While God permits you to burn incessantly, warming the kitchenette by extension. A choice made, dividing domicile. A buzz made, a word to swear by, while novel predictions promise the universe that you can walk in, surplus the requirements. I can't know you from the lap of predictions stuffed in my watch, nor can I eat without knowledge of past transgressions. Nor can I love without qualifications, in that case, I break the daytime into urgent rivalry and slam the door. Same magic that keeps us apart snaps tightly, an airtight curmudgeon, that's all that matters, and have an adventure sleeping alone. The bones of argument lock tight, joint to joint, suitor to suitor, and profound misadventures every day of life. A gallery of fire, framing disconcertion, knocking the door of Milton goddesses, open for coffee, a parody of the divine.
Charles Clark, please. Thanks. Thank
you. This is untitled, but there is a dedication of a kind for S.H. A few words that struck me somewhere in the works of the great master, and I thought, but I know something about this. Let's see whether we can do something. As children, we learned that riverbeds have sharp stones. They are metal roadway and boundary. Stepping stones adjacent to a pool are now a ford for tractor traffic. Our landscape of towers and churches, belfries, bells of summons and warning. The bank house, our home for 6 years, leaning against a bridge, polished by loungers, had inscribed verses for an English statesman, an absentee whose name is not forgotten, Egmont and Percival were not erased. Riverbanks with lavish growth of hogweed, high hedge fields, blackberries and cattle are found below the town where rivers join, Alloa and Dalloa, giving depth and speed, rich alluvial soil and flood water before the big river attracts its tribute. The famous waters are appropriated, I heard, my waters, an invitation to fish, but these are adult talks for another day.
Sonia Barker.
Now.
You can manage to do this.
An operation! Plus. Okay, now. This is for Chloe. Chloe was 24 years old when she died, a week and a half ago. She had diabetes, yeah. Thank you, Tina. She had diabetes. I worked with her for a year last year in a kitchen in Clonakilty. She was at front. It's one of those things, you know, people always say really nice things when you die. But the truth is that very often they've been saying horrible things about you while you were alive. That would have been very true for Chloe. Chloe liked to be in on everything, so she knew everything about everybody, and that wasn't always appreciated. I can't say she knew much about me, so I wrote her a poem. Traditionally, for the Irish harp player, or the old bard, this would have been set to a lament. Yes,
come on.
To a lament, and this is not a lament. Thank you. a thing. To have the memory, the late sun, the late afternoon sun, hitting the pavement, the walls, dinner kept, time spent, talking, dreaming, too late. Are we meeting, learning again from within? It was too short, for living, that is. Don't really want to talk about it. Not about my mouth, that is. It's a thing. The blessing, the curse, the late night whisper hiding within, the soft flesh, the bite. My days being Dutch, teeth. Am I losing, rounding, rotting from within? It looks too short for wisdom, that is. Rest in peace. I'll be thinking of you.
We have Philip Swan, please.
I'll try and give a quick introduction. A kappa is a Japanese trickster spirit, a river spirit, and I really like spirits. They're amazing creatures of symbolism. So this is like a human of the land talking to a spirit of the waters, and the human's written as a haiku, and the spirit is just written as continuous quotation contrasts. So I hope you like it. Is it limiting to be a little kappa, alone by yourself? Your scale emerald skin, your sorrowful beetle eyes trapped in the waters, where your power lives, where your spirit manifests. But you say to me, I am master craftsman of the waters, the shepherd of liquids and everything pure. The land of empty, cold air is nothing to my haven of floating loose gravity, my home. I'll curl in my world and twist and turn in ways that you stiff creatures can only dream of. I'll dance and make you jealous. Your limiting, stiff, pitiful souls is nothing, a papa that would never bloom into a butterfly. But don't forget, even kappas can drown. Thank you.
Thanks, Lord. Can we have Thor Harvey, please?
I was reading Gabriel's poems before I came out tonight, and there's no doubt that he's Mr. John B. Keane of poetry. I was delighted he read a children's poem, so I used to write a lot of them when I was young kids. I'm celebrating tonight because I had three poems selected for the junior curriculum. This is one of them, and it's a children's poem. When we were kids, it used to snow every winter, and snow was something that used to happen. But by the time I had kids, snow had kind of vanished, and you wouldn't get snow for, you know, every 5 years. And my daughter was 5 when she saw snow for the first time. And this is called First Snow. Look, Daddy, look, the snow, it's snowing. Look, snow. Black, dark, and there it was. and she knows on the window. Come on, Daddy. Can we go and make snowballs outside? Oh, it's snowing. Look at the snow. I can't believe it, she cried. But the snow was late in coming for play and innocent delight. And she dreamt of snow and snowing all that long winter's night. Thanks.
Thanks, Doc. Can we have Ray Hanran, please?
Two poems.
You're doing one poem, Ray. Time is off the essence. You've got to be 2 minutes.
All right. This one I did today, so it's still pretty rough. It's called The Empty Bistro. It looked perfect in its forlornness, no busy staff scuttling about, trying in vain to look busy so as to justify their hourly wage. All the tables neatly set, but in a vacant, fearful symmetry. No money changing hands, no ostentatious laughter from the unaccountably absent maitre d'. It looked like the death of consumerism, and who knows, maybe it actually was.
Hey, Laura. Thank you. Good meeting. David Acker.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a spoiler, but the lyrical ego of this poem lives in Blackpool. The lurking star, a trembling night outside of my window, steamy, raspy yelling and breaking glass, homeless rudiments of humanity. Am I awake? The angles of the walls and the ceiling form a godless heaven above my bed. The light of a lurking star reveals a hollow construction. Like society, who saves me from these savages outside? Where are they coming from? What curses are coarse voices yelling in the dark? They are just crazy skimmings, blindly spinning broken wheels of a machine that never worked, but constantly scheming our demise. We pay the price when we did rise, the fist of unforgiving law, that squelches upraises and mutes loud voices, that gives me sleep and awes the uncomfortable truth.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, David. Can we have Niamh O'Donovan, please?
Okay, and it's just called Teaching. They're taught a class of doubt, underclass youth, drinking in abandoned houses, haunted by the young, scoring 50 bags their life is scored by distant 20-somethings with their college degree and sense of something about themselves. Who are these kids? Their friends and boyfriends, girlfriends who love each other, hate each other, and fight and kiss, and mostly they want to know that we don't know it all. Scary thought, but it's okay. That's what I give them. That's what I think, at least. I hope. I don't know it all. Often more know more than me. So I tell them this. You know more than me. I have a degree. I had some fun in college. You will too, even if you don't go to college. I'm on the dole. I draw and write and teach them business. I give them homework. I guess I'm the man, authority. It helps them learn. I can't tell if they learn that much. Not in my class. There's so much to teach. My class is more than some board meeting. Articles outline association. Supply of services 19-something when. I prefer them to know that they can teach themselves. You will have to renew what you kind of, sort of know. Did they ever hear that they are good? That's the foundation I want to give. You know you're worth as much as me.
Thank you. Yeah, Weber, please.
One, come on.
Okay, one.
We're going to get chucked out in 2 minutes.
Polish poetry, you know. It's by Wisława Szymborska, born 1923, died 2012.
poet, essayist, translator, and recipient of the 1996 Nobel Prize in Literature. For poetry that, with ironic precision, allows the historical and biological context to come to light in fragments of human reality. So,
one.
Cut in an empty apartment. Dying. You wouldn't do that to a cat. For what is a cat to do in an empty apartment? Climb up the walls? Brush up against the furniture? Nothing here seems changed. Nothing has been moved. And yet there's more room. And in the evening the lamp is not on. One hears footsteps on the stairs, but they're not the same. Neither is the hand that puts a fish on a plate. Something here isn't starting at its usual time. Something here isn't happening as it should. Somebody has been here and has been, and then has suddenly disappeared, and now is stubbornly absent. All the closets have been scattered, and all the shelves run through. Sleeping under the carpet and checking came to nothing. The rule has even been broken and all the papers scattered. What else is to do? Sleep and wait. Just let him come back. Let him show up. Then he'll find out that you don't do that to a cat. Going toward him, faking reluctance, slowly, on very offended pose, and no jumping, pulling at first. So, you know what's the poem about, I read it in Polish.
Yeah, come on, come on. Running out of time. I've got 10 minutes to get my two people in, but you chucked it. Oh, come on, hold your one poem.
Kot w pustym mieszkaniu. Umrzeć. Tego nie robi się kotu. Bo co ma począć kot w pustym mieszkaniu? Wdrapywać się na ściany? Ocierać między meblami? Nic niby tu niezmienione, a jednak pozamieniane. Niby nie przesunięte, a jednak porozsuwane. I wieczorami lampa już nie świeci. Słychać kroki na schodach, ale to nie te. Ręka, co kładzie rybę na talerzyk, także nie ta, co kładła. Coś się tu nie zaczyna o swojej zwykłej porze. Coś się tu nie odbywa, jak powinno. Ktoś tutaj był i był, i był, a potem nagle zniknął i uporczywie go nie ma. Do wszystkich szaf się zajrzało, przez półki przebiegło. Wcisnęło się pod dywan i sprawdziło. Nawet złamało zakaz i rozrzuciło papiery. Co więcej jest do zrobienia? Spać i czekać. Niech no tylko wróci. Niech no się pokaże. Już on się dowie, że tak z kotem nie można. Będzie się szło w jego stronę, jakby się wcale nie chciało. Pomalutku, na bardzo obrażonych łapkach i żadnych skoków, pisków na początek.
Right, we're going to have to stop it now. It's 10 to 12. So,
how many more have you got?
Two.
Come
on.
Hi,
I'm allowed one.
Two.
I'm allowed one,
look. Two.
I'm negotiating between everyone. Two.
One, two.
Well, can we have Kieran McCartney and Michelle Delay up here at the same time so that there's no change over time whatsoever, just like the last time?
Alright.
Bye, Michelle.
The man says two, you could stick in four.
You're in trouble.
there's a play on in the Geek Co-op in the Yoga Room this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That'd be great if you all go out and see. It's called In Light of Salt Rings. They drew.
Who's in it?
This is called Stride Inspired. Have I not seen you before, or you me, looking at the crown, but seeing roots? As looking at the crown, but seeing roots. Grounded and giving to the believer, but deep and dark in doubt. As the stepping stone becomes a stumbling block, to feet beneath turning shoulders, starved of the space that gives the eyes perspective, perhaps to see the seeping colors spread to the corners of taut canvas. Have you learned in crossing rivers? Did you, captured in the crevice, see the infinity and identity of the cradled darkness and seek a view that would further your understanding? A breathy journey leading backwards to where the beam of your eyes' light would stretch in even wash to the edges of taut canvas, and those crevices seen now as contributing features of great boulders spread in casual chaos could carry you anywhere your compass needle rests. How to set your open shoulders to breathe in the full life of each direction and recognize that which comes cleansing to your expanding lungs. Breathe it deep, full of fuel for the great afar, clean air to ground you right where you are. Step lightly across the stones that offer support as thanks for your inclination to see them at their best. Cross many rivers. Stride inspired. Spread your colors across seeping boundaries of taut canvas.
Thanks, Kira. One last but not least, Michelle.
This one's about 4 years old. I found it today and got a bit of a kick out of it, so. There were earrings, they were mine. Their sole soulless purpose was to drip towards my dress. Their pale green and shy purple were to talk to my dusted eyes in silence while other dusted eyes came and went. Debutante's questionable delights were sent from the glorious page to the mere present, resurrected from the ink of fantasy. Have you not been warned of the Ouija? Have you not sliced skulls in Zelda? Girl, forgive me. I expect not your knowledge of the sketch behind the painting, the scar beneath the candy skull. Or is my defect that I do expect this from you? My left hand now tells a silver spoon to kiss glass laterally and play the silencing champagne flute. Ladies of the ball, continue with your disillusions. And not if but when the click repeat button is broken and anticlimax has spoken, can you elude them? Preaching am I, or recapping the past to put a cap on the wasted mass? To draw a map on the expectations cast, catapulted by wood of impossible density, sitting comfortably with the impossibility of Disney. Pedestal yet deemed achievable. No, I ordered the majority. Replace Prince Charming's sword and horse with the pen and the verse, and simplicity you will come to see will wake your sleeping beauty and set your Snow White free and even de-bereave your Bambis. It became apparent to me, as both earrings hanged in safe beauty, the aesthetically pleased married mental unease and they frame my portrait like bookends to the brain. But had they that right with their beauty, their meaning mundane? To them I dared with disdain, if I could even see them, if you could even see anything but them, when I am there to speak and not just to be seen. I fled. I slammed the drawers open and open, they were left. I lifted corners of carpets, I smashed cakes to prove their content. Kangled paths to walk my own cement, I did not believe a thing I knew. The earrings sat with my shelf salt superglue beside a jigsaw piece and another. They had their prime one December when two canvases were married to make a box their home. This clever gift that knew me had since taken a blow. I knew what I had to do. Now I wear my jigsaw earrings almost every day, and nothing is puzzling.